Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. The government needs to make plans for a no-deal Brexit, according to the head of the European Commission. A Donegal mother is lodging a formal complaint after her son was forced to lie on a blood splatter trolley at Letterkenny University Hospital. The Health Minister says the lack of women scheduled to speak at the McGill Summer School is disappointing, and there are further calls for plans to close Ballyshannon Fire Station to be reconsidered. Those stories you follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. But first in news, the government needs to make plans for a no-deal Brexit, according to the head of the European Commission. Jean-Claude Juncker addressed a special meeting of the Dáil and Seanad earlier and said the EU is completely behind Ireland's position. Mr. Juncker said other members won't abandon Ireland just to achieve a deal on Brexit, but he warned plans need to be made for all eventualities.
As the clock to Brexit ticks down, we must prepare for every eventuality, including no deal. This is neither a desired nor a likely outcome, but it is not an impossible one. And we are getting ready just in case.
A Donegal mother is lodging a formal complaint after her son was forced to lie on a blood splatter trolley at Letterkenny University Hospital. The woman, who does not wish to be named, contacted Highland Radio following a visit to the hospital last Friday afternoon. She had taken her ill son to the hospital, where he ended up on a trolley which was covered with another person's blood. The mother says she was horrified to discover the blood splatter and intends to lodge a formal complaint. There are further calls for plans to close Ballyshannon Fire Station to be reconsidered. Proposed plans include amalgamating both the Ballyshannon and Bundoran Fire Stations, reducing cover for the wider area to just one base. A special meeting of the full plenary council is due to take place this coming Monday on the issue. Sligo Leitrim and South Donegal Deputy Eamon Scanlon says a commitment given to retain both stations back in 2009 should be honoured.
I call on the Minister to talk to his officials in relation to this, because there was a commitment in 2009 that the two stations would be kept and that they would be upgraded and financed at that time. Unfortunately, it seems to have gone off the radar since then. The retained fire people have to be less than a mile and a half from their place of work. They have to be able to, in an emergency, be at the station within 5 minutes. And I don't know how that's going to work if you haven't the fire station in Ballyshannon and Bundoran.
Meanwhile, speaking in the Dáil a short time ago, Deputy Tony McLaughlin told Minister Simon Coveney that ministerial intervention is needed before a final decision can be made.
And we have only recently announced funding under the 2040 plan in relation to new developments, new fire stations and various other things. A recommendation was made, and I know that both Minister McHugh here and I have been lobbying, but it's vitally important that no decision is made, because actually a decision has not been made at Donegal County Council, where there's a special meeting, and I know that, Les Concurley, you'll be aware of that, on next Monday in relation to this very, very disturbing announcement that was made by certain individuals recommending to Donegal County Council to close this fire station in Ballyshannon. Now, you have workforce there, you have people that are living there and are very, very concerned, and I know that everybody in the House and my colleagues here would be very, very supportive that no decision would be made until Donegal get an opportunity that the Minister would intervene. Perhaps.
The Health Minister says the lack of women scheduled to speak at the McGill Summer School is disappointing. The popular event has come under fire for originally only including 12 women out of 56 speakers. It's now said that it will try to fix this by holding one session on the abortion referendum and another on gender balancing. Minister Simon Harris says he'd like to see women represented more at all events.
I think it is very disappointing that there's such a huge underrepresentation of women. I've just come from a conference, Inspirefest, where 65% of the attendees were female and 65% of the speakers were female. So of course it's possible to do. And anything to suggest that it's very difficult to get women speakers, certainly not in the world that I live in or the circles that I move in. So look, I think it's unfortunate, and I'm sure the organisers will be working hard to try and rectify it.
The Cathaoirleá of Donegal County Council hopes works to develop a long-term visitor experience plan for Glenbeigh National Park will enhance the overall visitor experience. Donegal's most popular tourist attraction is said to be experiencing serious issues with traffic and people management during the busy summer travel season. It's expected recommendations to improve the infrastructural and recreational offering at the park will be set out as part of the plan. Visitor numbers have increased by 40% over the past 4 years, with more than 211,000 visitors recorded at Glenbeigh National Park last year. Councillor Seamus O'Donnell says many considerations will be reviewed to ensure the park becomes a state-of-the-art facility.
Number one is that more car parking spaces be available. It is a very sensitive site. And number two is that more catering facilities and facilities that will make the experience of people as a visitor experience better. And I very much welcome this and I look forward to the advancements of that into the future. And I'm sure that Donegal County Council will wish to work hand in hand with the department and indeed the officers in Glenbeigh National Park to bring this to fruition.
Do you foresee this plan being implemented and complete ahead of the next tourism season?
To be quite frank about it, I'm not quite sure about the details, but I don't see it being complete for the 2018 season or the 2019 season rather. And the reason I say that is because Glenbeigh National Park is in a very, very sensitive site. There will be considerations which they will have to have in regards to the Habitats Directive, to the Natura 2000 sites that are contained within our own county development plan. There will have to be a number of studies carried out to ensure that it will have little or no impact, no negative impact on the habitats that surround Glenbeigh National Park. And I'm sure that there will be a consultation period to find out what the people of this county want Glenbeigh National Park to have and to hold and to host. And that will take time, but I'm sure that money will be available from the department and from government when the plan is finalised, and that the project itself will come to fruition, which will allow for Glenbeigh National Park to be a state-of-the-art national park.
A trial over the killing of a prison officer in Northern Ireland has collapsed. 52-year-old David Black died following a motorway drive-by shooting in County Armagh in November 2012. Bob Huggins reports.
A dissident Republican organisation calling itself the IRA said it carried out the murder. 41-year-old Damien McLaughlin from Kilmaskelly Road in Dungannon was accused of a number of offences, including aiding and abetting murder and possession of articles for use in terrorism. He will walk free after prosecutors decided at Belfast Crown Court this morning not to appeal against a judge's ruling that part of the evidence was unsafe. Mr. Black was a father of two from Cookstown.
A Donegal deputy says he hopes the Taoiseach's visit to the Orange Heritage Museum in Belfast earlier this month can open a new era of engagement with unionism. Deputy Pearse Doherty praised Leo Varadkar's trip to Belfast, where he met with the Grand Master of the Orange Lodge and launched the programme for Felon Pubble Community Festival. Deputy Doherty says the importance of the visit should be recognised.
In relation to your visit to meet with the Orange Order in Belfast, I think that that was a very welcome visit. I'm glad to hear the welcome that you got both inside and outside the room. And I hope that this initiative might open a new era of engagement with the Grand Lodge and wider society, which has been lacking in the past, and I wouldn't want to downplay, as has been suggested, the importance of that initiative, and I think that we need to have many more of them to come.
There are fears a predicted dry spell in the northwest could lead to further fodder shortages. While rainfall in Donegal is said to be average, the recent dry spell has led to some farmers starting to feed silage to cattle on farms where grass growth has slowed. This, combined with the fodder crisis of months past, has led to serious concern over the upcoming autumn-winter season. Hannah Quinn is news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal.
After the winter, we've eaten into our reserves big time because it was longer and longer. A lot of people in Donegal will be aware of that as well. You had a very wet period there, say in August last year. So what is happening now is that grass growth in parts of the country, it's not everywhere, but parts of the country has slowed down because of the dry weather. And some people are outside enjoying the sunshine, but anyone who's probably mowing the lawn regularly will realise that the grass growth has slowed down. So for farmers, that's an issue, because of course this is a time of year where we're trying to grow as much grass as possible to save as much for the winter.
So this, combined with what you just mentioned there, the recent fodder crisis, I'm sure it doesn't bode too well for this coming autumn and the winter. winter months indeed.
So there'd be concerns, and first cuts of silage have been a lot lighter. There've been less bales. The yield has been poorer than, say, in previous years. There's been a knock-on effect. So then you're looking at less bales again in your second cut of silage. You know, that's always the way it's going to be. So it would be worrying. Now, what I'd say is that I was talking to Met Éireann, and they have said that, say, for the northwest of the country, the rainfall has been average. So it's maybe just, say, in coastal regions where you'd be having more sunshine. It's very patchy, this dry weather. So perhaps now in parts of Donegal, you'd be better off, say, than in more southerly parts of the country.
Exports from Northern Ireland into the Republic are significantly higher than the amount of trade moving in the other direction. A report published by the North Statistical Research Agency showed the difference to be almost 85%. Donald Kavanagh has more.
The report estimates that in 2016, Northern Ireland businesses in the non-financial and non-farm sectors made in the region of 758,000 cross-border export deliveries to the Republic. This was estimated to be worth in the region of £3.4 billion to the Northern Ireland economy. There were approximately 410,000 import deliveries in 2015 from the Republic to Northern Ireland businesses, worth nearly £2 billion. 74% of the export deliveries from Northern Ireland in 2016 were made by small businesses with fewer than 50 employees, with a third of those carried out by micro-businesses with fewer than 10 employees. Businesses in district council areas along the border had the highest number of cross-border export sales. The report recommends further research, saying more information is necessary on the cross-border movement of goods between Northern Ireland and the Republic to inform EU exit.
The chairman of the Disclosures Tribunal says there's evidence of people not coming forward to give evidence and that it's their patriotic duty to do so. It's after the editor of the Irish Daily Mirror said Superintendent Dave Taylor had peddled a story about Maurice McCabe to other newsrooms in the town. Juliette Gash reports.
This afternoon, editor of the Irish Daily Mirror, John Kearns, told the Disclosures Tribunal that he didn't believe a story of an allegation of child abuse against Maurice McCabe when it was brought to him by then crime reporter Cathal McMahon. Mr. Kearns said the risk of defamation was huge for the paper and they didn't pursue the story. Mr. McMahon said his source for the allegation was not a member of the Gardaí, but that it was confirmed by Superintendent Dave Taylor, who said he should go to Cavan to stand it up. Mr. Kearns said he discovered subsequently that the story had been peddled to other newsrooms in town by Superintendent Taylor. Chairman Peter Charlton said there's evidence of people not coming forward to the tribunal and it's their patriotic duty to do so. He said people would stop trusting journalists if those who didn't come forward then wrote about it, which would be much worse than any libel action on earth. Juliette Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, stocking everything you need for the Ulster Final this weekend.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. They're into the second half in the World Cup Group C contest at Ekaterinburg. It's currently France 1, Peru 0. Kylian Mbappe got the game's opening goal on 11 minutes before the break. A win for Les Blues will see them qualify for the last 16 with a game to spare. Denmark currently sit top of Group C with 4 points, despite being held to a 1-1 draw by Australia today. Christian Eriksen put the Danes ahead with 7 minutes played in Samara with one of the goals of the tournament, while Mikkel Jedinek equalised from the spot 7 minutes before half time. At 7 o'clock tonight, Argentina, they're in need of a win in Group D. They face Croatia and Nizhny Novgorod. That game kicks off, as I say, at 7 o'clock. In other news today, Manchester United have completed their second signing of the summer. Brazilian midfielder Fred, he joins from Shakhtar Donetsk for a fee believed to be around £50 million. Fred, who's currently with the Brazilian squad in Russia, has signed a 5-year deal at Old Trafford. And Juventus have confirmed the signing of Emre Can. The German midfielder signed a 4-year deal with the Serie A champions, having let his contract expire at Liverpool. And police have confirmed that Republic of Ireland international Kieran Clark was attacked in a Spanish bar at the weekend. The Newcastle United defender, who has family connections in Milford, was knocked unconscious and taken to hospital on the island of Mallorca. A British man in his 30s was arrested. Clark has played 29 times for Ireland. Moving on to rugby, and Ireland head coach Joe Smith says it was always his plan to give Ross Byrne some game time on the tour of Australia. The Leinster out half has been named on the bench for Saturday's third and decisive test in Sydney. With Jonathan Sexton starting at 10, there's no room in the matchday squad for Munster-bound Joey Carberry. Elsewhere, Jack Conan comes in for the injured Dan Levy in the back row. A switch at CJ Stander moved to open side. There's also recalls for Bundy Aki, Jacob Stockdale, Sean Cronin and Jack McGrath. In Gaelic games, the Tyrone team to play Carlo this Saturday in round two of the All-Ireland qualifiers will be named later this evening. Peter Hart, he's back after suspension, while Cathal McCarron, who missed the win over Meath due to a chest infection, is also available. An ankle injury has again ruled out Mark Bradley, and Lee Brennan misses out with a hamstring injury. Well, it's a huge weekend for Donegal GAA with the hurlers and the footballers in two big finals. The hurlers start the action on Saturday when they take on Warwickshire in the All-Ireland Nicky Rackard final in Croke Park. And then on Sunday, the footballers seek out a first Ulster Senior Championship title since 2014 when they play for Manna and Clonus. First up, the hurlers are looking to win the Nicky Rackard for the second time. Captain Danny Collins says that they'll have the same focus that has been successful all year, and they'll take it into Saturday's final at GAA headquarters.
The way we just look at it is every game is different, like, and we come out with the same approach for all the games, like, and no matter what quality opposition you're playing, from, like, we've been playing teams like Calvert down, the Wicklow, down the teams that are in Division 3B, like, it doesn't matter, we just go out with the same attitude, like, and we just use the ball, give the ball the best man in the right position, and no matter what, if you're up by 10 or down by 10, you just keep at it, plugging away what you're doing, and that's just kind of our attitude all year, and it's been working, so nothing really will change for us now when it comes to Saturday, like.
Danny Cullen there. Of course, the both games will have live commentary of those games. The hurlers on action on Saturday at 4 o'clock, and the footballers in action on Sunday at 2. In cycling, a record number of cyclists will take part in this weekend's Donegal Atlantic Way Ultra 555K cycle, which starts tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. at Ballyrain in Letterkenny. The riders' briefing will be held tonight in the Mount Errigal Hotel. Between all categories, around 330 riders will compete in this year's event. Sean McFadden is the race organiser.
Yeah, this year's going to be exciting. Numbers is up this year. We're up to 110 riders. So last year, I think we were about 80, and this year we're at 110. So it is getting very excited. And I think it's going to be exciting this year because some of the top favourites is not there. So it's opened up for a new winner. So we're looking forward to see who's going to step up to the challenge.
In golf, Padraig Harrington has made a promising start to the Travels Championship in Connecticut. He's just a shot off the lead on 4 under par with 2 to play in his opening round on the PGA Tour. Graham McDowell, he's 2 over through 15. Seamus Power gets his round underway in the next few minutes, while Rory McIlroy, he tees off around 6 o'clock. There's a 4-way tie in the lead that includes Zach Johnson. They're all on 5 under par. US Open champion Brooks Koepka, he's made a decent start. He's just one shot off the lead. He's on 4 under par with a couple of holes left to play in his opening round. In the European Tour this week, it's the BMW Internationals taking place in Germany. Sebastian Groh, he leads the way. He's on 4 under par with a 68 today. He's one ahead of Aaron Rai and Scott Jameson, both on 3 under par. In horse racing, 74 joint favourite Stradivarius, with Frankie Dettori on board, has claimed the Gold Cup, the feature race of day 3 of Royal Ascot. Order of St George finished in 4th, denying a treble for the combination of trainer Aidan O'Brien and jockey Ryan Moore. Now, the win aboard Stradivarius was Frankie Dettori's 6th in the Gold Cup and his 60th at Royal Ascot. O'Brien and Moore did combine for 2 winners earlier today. 10-3 Magic Juan claimed the Ribsdale Stakes under Ryan Moore, and O'Brien and Moore also combined for Hunting Horns, winning the Hampton Court Stakes. The first race of the day, the Norfolk Stakes, was won by 5-1 chance Shang Shang Shang. Finally, for this evening in local Gaelic games, the Sandy Harper Sean T Centenary Tournament in Castlefin. Now, there's a game on tonight. It's Ernie against Owen Rose. That game throws in at 7:30. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. While the British Home Secretary has confirmed that a review of the use of medicinal cannabis is to take place, there are calls for the Billy Caldwell case to be resolved. Cannabis oil was confiscated from Billy's mother, Charlotte, at Heathrow Airport, but was later returned after Billy reportedly suffered a number of epileptic seizures. MP Orla Begley believes Billy is living proof that this medication can be life-changing and says there's an immediate need to secure access to medicinal cannabis for Billy on a long-term basis.
From Friday night right into Saturday, and I have been negotiating with the Home Office to get a resolution. This is only a short-term fix, and basically the correspondence which I got from the Home Office stated specifically on it that it was a short-term emergency while Billy was in hospital. So obviously we now need to look at a long-term solution for Billy in particular. Obviously he can't return home until this is hopefully got and sorted by the Home Office. So we're continuing this week to be in negotiations with the Home Office. We're hopeful and optimistic that they'll allow Billy to return back to Castledurgan and to be able to use his medication while he is back home.
In terms of the current situation as it stands now, Orla, is Billy's medication still very much in limbo, the future access to that cannabis oil?
Yeah, well, at the moment we only have one bottle of the cannabis oil returned to Billy, and that's almost a 20-day supply, and already she's well into them 20 days. So I'm trying to negotiate now with the Home Office a long-term solution for Billy. There is two other bottles of the cannabis oil with the Home Office at the moment, but they haven't returned them to the family as of yet. But even if Charlotte were to take beyond them three bottles in total, more medication for Billy, she has to order it in from Canada. It takes 30 days for that to be ordered and an extra 2 days for it to be shipped. So we need to be looking at that now. We need to be looking at the future for Billy and about prescribing his medication when he turns back home.
A Dubliner has been jailed for 22 years in Spain for his role in the murder of Gary Hutch. The nephew of Jerry the Monk Hutch was chased around a pool and shot 15 times 3 years ago. Stephanie Grogan reports.
35-year-old James Quinn from Dublin 8 went on trial in Spain last week for the murder of Gary Hutch in the Costa del Sol. He insisted he couldn't have carried out the shooting because he was hung over in bed with a prostitute at the time. But the jury didn't believe him, and although they didn't convict him of being the gunman, they believed he was the driver of the getaway car and therefore a necessary participant. He's now been locked up in a Spanish jail for 22 years. Gary Hutch's murder is believed to have sparked the ongoing feud in Dublin, which has claimed up to 18 lives. Assistant Commissioner John O'Driscoll heads up the Garda's special crime operations.
In some cases, we have the capacity to achieve the results on our own, but more often than not, there is an international dimension to investigations, and it is through the type of cooperation that was exhibited in a case in Spain. It is that type of cooperation that will lead to very effective results.
James Quinn has also been ordered to pay the Hutch family €90,000 in compensation. Stephanie Grogan at Garda Special Crime Operations in Dublin.
Finally for weather now, dry and bright for the rest of today with sunny spells. Dry overnight with clear spells and light northwest breezes. Cool with lows of 5 to 7 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a Donegal mother is lodging a formal complaint after her son was forced to lie on a blood splatter trolley at Letterkenny University Hospital. The woman, who does not wish to be named, contacted Highland Radio following a visit to the hospital last Friday afternoon. The Health Minister says the lack of women scheduled to speak at the McGill Summer School is disappointing. The popular event has come under fire for originally only including 12 women out of 56 speakers. The Gaeilge of Donegal County Council hopes works to develop a long-term visitor experience plan for Glenbeigh National Park will enhance the overall visitor experience. Donegal's most popular tourist attraction is said to be experiencing serious issues with traffic and people management during the busy summer travel season. And there are further calls for plans to close Ballyshannon Fire Station to be reconsidered. Proposed plans include amalgamating both the Ballyshannon and Bundoran fire stations, reducing cover for the wider area to just one base. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 21st of June. The sudden death has taken place in Spain of Garth Kennedy, aged 48 years, to Dromore Close, Crossroads, Killigordon, formerly of Glebe Gardens, Sion Mills. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, Strabane. The death has occurred of Pauline Arkinson, 80, Hillview Park, Castledurg. Funeral from her late home on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Castledurg. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. House private, please. Family and close friends welcome at the request of the deceased. The death has taken place of Willie Houston, Coal Hill, Newton Cunningham. His remains are en route to his late residence. Removal tomorrow evening at 6:30 from there, arriving at All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham at 7 o'clock. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the St Vincent de Paul Society, care of Charlie McLafferty, Funeral Directors. The death has occurred in Dublin of Willie John O'Donnell, Bioctor, Letchermack Award. His remains will repose at Madeline's Funeral Home this evening from 6 o'clock, with rosary at 9 o'clock tonight. Viewing tomorrow at 3, with removal at 6:30 to St Bridget's Church, Letchermack Award, for 7 o'clock, where he'll repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Martin McCaverty, formerly of Moss Park, Derry. Funeral from the family home at Castle Forward, Newton Cunningham, County Donegal, tomorrow morning at 10:40 for Requiem Mass at 11:30 in St Columba's Church, Longtower. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Foyle Hospice. And the death has taken place of Ellen Hickox, Middletown, Mallon Head. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 to Star of the Sea Chapel, Mallon Head, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Lag Cemetery, Mallon. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. House private, please, tomorrow night.